Okay, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class is given by His Grace Ram Giridhari Guruji from the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 24 and text number 335 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Ram Giridhari Prabhuji, are you on the call?
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I mean, thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanva Pranam, all goes to Sri Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. And thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. Please take over the call now. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैतचन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद श्रीमूर्ति लक्षणार शालिग्राम लक्षण कृष्ण क्षेत्रे यात्रा कृष्ण मूर्ति दर्शन द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ द डीटीज शुड बी डिस्कस्ड एज वेल एज द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ The Shaligram Shila. You should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple and touring holy places like Vrindavana, Mathura and Dwaraka. Text 336. Nama Mahima Nama Parada Dure Vajana Vaishnava Lakshana Seva Parada Kandanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. You should glorify the holy name and explain that one must carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. You should also describe the symptoms of a Vaishnava and explain that one must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparadha offenses in deity worship. Purport. The devotee should always be very careful not to commit the 10 offenses when chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. If a devotee very strictly follows the methods of deity worship, he will naturally and quickly become a pure Vaishnava. A pure Vaishnava has unflinching faith in the Lord, and he does not deviate at all. He is always engaged in perfect deity worship. One should also note the specific offenses against deity worship. These are mentioned in the Skanda Purana, Avanti Kanda, spoken by Vyasadeva himself. One should liquidate all kinds of offenses. The Shaligram Shila should be worshipped with Tulsi, where sufficient quantity of Tulsi leaves are available. Worship of Shaligram Shila should be introduced in all ISKCON temples. Shaligram Shila is the form of the Lord's mercy. To worship the deity with the 64 items mentioned may be a difficult job, but the Lord has become so small that anyone in any temple can carefully handle deity worship simply by performing the same activities with the Shaligram Shila. There are 32 offenses to the deities that should be avoided. One should not enter the temple in a vehicle. Shoes and slippers should be removed before entering the temple. 2. One should offer obeisances as soon as he sees the deity. 3. One should enter the temple after taking a bath. In other words, one should be very clean. 4. One should not offer obeisances to the Lord with one hand. 5. One should not circumambulate demigods before the deity. 6. One should not spread his leg before the deity. 7. One should not sit down before the deity with his legs crossed, nor should one touch his legs with his hands. 8. One should not lie down before the deity. 9. One should not eat before the deity. 10. One should not speak lies before the deity. 11. One should not speak very loudly before the deity. 12. One should not talk nonsense before the deity. 13. One should not cry before the deity. 14. One should not deal with others before the deity. 15. One should not utter harsh words before the deity. 16. One should not cover himself with a blanket. 17. One should not talk enviously of others before the deity. 18. One should not praise others before the deity. 19. One should not use slang before the deity. 20. One should not pass air before the deity. 21. One should not neglect 64 items of deity worship. 22. One should not eat anything not offered to the deity. 23. One should not neglect offering seasonal fruits as soon as they are available. 24. One should always offer fresh untouched fruit to the deity. 25. One should not sit with his back toward the deity. 26. One should not offer obeisances to the others before the deity. 27. One should not sit near the deity without taking the spiritual master's permission. 28. One should not be proud to hear himself praised before the deity. 29. One should not blaspheme the demigods. 30. One should not be unkind to others before the deity. 31. One should observe all festivals in the temple. 32. One should not fight or quarrel before the deity. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So the context that we are currently in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, after Mahaprabhu finished narrating about 61 explanations to Atma Ramasya Munayo verse, Mahaprabhu expressed his desire that each and every student of Srimad Bhagavatam should scrutinizingly study Srimad Bhagavatam in the manner that this one verse has been dealt. And Mahaprabhu has expressed how Sanatana Goswami should facilitate, and eventually Mahaprabhu expressed his desire of Sanatana Goswami to compile a book on Vaishnava behavior. Then Sanatana Goswami expressed this inability out of his humility. Mahaprabhu said that you are definitely empowered, and in fact earlier he has mentioned that even though I had finished explaining 50-60 explanations, the moment I am remembering that I am in your association, more and more reflections are flowing in my heart. So your association is very purifying, my dear Sanatana. Finally, Sanatana Goswami said, I will compile, provided you please give me a synopsis, give me a direction on what exactly you want me to talk about. So this particular shloka is in the series where Mahaprabhu is explaining Sanatana Goswami about the synopsis, the content. In fact, we call a table of contents what Mahaprabhu wished Sanatana Goswami should cover in his book. Mahaprabhu explained in the last two words, 35 and 36, how deity worship, characteristics of deities, Shalagram Shila, importance of worshipping Shalagram Shila. And Mahaprabhu said that how it's very practical to worship the Shalagram. And he's also encouraging about the offenseless chanting of the holy name and avoid seva aparad. So there are three points in these two verses or three sets of content that Mahaprabhu wished Sanatana Goswami put in his book. There are many more, I think you all had been discussing and you will discuss further. But in these two verses, three points are covered. One is about deity worship. Second is about chanting in the holy name of the Lord. Third is about avoiding seva aparad. So we will have three sets of reflections for each one reflection per item. So regarding deity worship, Mahaprabhu has very categorically mentioned that when somebody is interested in progressing in Krishna consciousness, then worshipping of these deities and developing relationship with Krishna is important. Prabhupada writes in the purport to verse number 36, how one should be worshipping the deities and receive the Lord's mercy. And Prabhupada gave a directive of how all the ISKCON temples should consider worshipping Shalagram Shila. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, it is a duty of every grihastha devotee to consider deity worship as an integral part of his grihastha life. The deities should be considered as one's primary family member, and the entire family should be centered around pleasing, serving, glorifying, and reporting to the deities. Deities will become part of the family and will participate in all the activities of the family. That is how deity worship are generally being done. The deities are not some metal or wood or stone. According to Srila Prabhupada, there are seven forms of deity worship. The deities can be worshipped in the form of a painting, wood, stone, metal, fire, and few others. So the deity worship Once Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj mentioned that to me. Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that it is the duty of every grihastha to worship the deities in their best possible way. Otherwise, they will fall down in their devotional life. This worshipping in the best possible way is a very subjective and it is left to the individual to figure out what is best in his capacity. But it is truth that deities reciprocate. Plenty of pastimes. Raghunandan Thakur pastime. Where Raghunandan Thakur personally literally spoke to the deities. Even though he was not knowing Shodachopachar or 64 different ways of worshipping the deities, he served the deities with love and fed the deities in his father's absence. And looking at the child's love, Krishna responded. The pastime of Varadaraj in Kanchipuram and Kanchipurna, where deities are speaking. The pastime of Sakshi Gopal, where deities are speaking. So there are plenty of such episodes. The whole Radha Raman deities in Vrindavan, which Gopalapatta Goswami was worshipping. He was originally a Shaligram. But then when one day Gopalapatta Goswami was wondering that so many devotees are coming and giving so many dress and jewelries, how am I even going to offer them and decorate you? So Krishna immediately transformed overnight. Next day morning when Gopalapatta Goswami got up, he saw his Shaligram Shila got transformed into Radha Raman deities. So like this, deities and deity worship are encouraged as part of our Panchanga Bhakti. So Mahaprabhu wanted to insist that how every individual, especially a grihastha, should make deity worship as something very basic and important to be followed. In Krishna consciousness practices, Srila Prabhupada made sure that wherever he went, whichever temple he go, he made sure that he established the standard of deity worship. Even though Radha Krishna worships are of a bit higher standard, Srila Prabhupada enabled us with a procedure by which we can develop attachments and affinity towards the Supreme Lord and come to an understanding that Krishna is our Supreme Father. So we have always been discussing about this aspect of how to be fixed in the deity worship, and that is Jiva Goswami's narration where Smaranam, Dharanam, Dhyanam, Durvanu Smriti and Samadhi. So one should be fixing his consciousness, meditate upon the forms of the Lord. Through meditating upon the forms of the Lord, one should meditate upon the Leela of the Lord. Through meditating upon the Leela of the Lord, one should develop relationship with the Lord. By developing relationship with the Lord, one should learn to serve the Lord. And finally, one should learn to eventually develop the service to a level of loving the Lord and going back home, back to Godhead. So this process of Krishna consciousness is very scientific. So hence, this is not some mechanical procedure. That is why Rupa Goswami condemns Niyamagraha. Rather, he encourages Tat-Tat Karma Pravartanar. How we should make sure that we don't land up in doing deity worship just for the sake of formality. Rather, we do deity worship with an understanding that Krishna is reciprocating, will reciprocate and participate in our daily activities. All the acharyas, they have demonstrated this culture of talking to, reflecting with, deities in such a manner that has become integral part of their daily existence. Mahaprabhu inherited in his preachings two principles for Acharya. So Mahaprabhu inherited this deity worship principle for each and every one of us to get rid of our lusty propensity. Sometimes devotees used to ask Prabhupada that now that I am married, I can have sexual life. Prabhupada used to very strongly condemn that marriage life is not a license for lust. Rather than thinking marriage as an opportunity for being lusty in bodily consciousness, we should convert our marriage life as an opportunity to dovetail all our resources for glorifying, pleasing the Lord, and one of them is worshipping the deities. So of the five forms of how money can be spent, financial resources can be engaged, the first one is to utilize the money in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second one is to invite devotees, spiritual master, and serve them and feed them. Third, one should engage his financial resources in taking care of cows and poor animals. Fourth, one should engage their resources in giving in charity for the needy people. And fifth, the financial resources of a person should be engaged in protecting the dependents of the family, and then one should take care of his own needs. So if you see the five ways by which one's financial resources to be engaged, the first one and most of the ones are directed towards taking care of Krishna and Krishna's services. So our first reflection here is how deity worship, how we should develop relationship with Krishna through deity worship. In the process of Krishna consciousness, this relationship with Krishna is to also understand that we need to learn to serve Krishna, we need to learn to dovetail our desires for pleasing Krishna. I was giving a Bhagavatam class yesterday and we were discussing about the four-step process by which one can align his desires. We were discussing how in Krishna consciousness as practitioners, after hearing a little bit of Bhagavatam, we get to understand that yes, I have to be Krishna conscious. So we try to understand my altar need to be very nice. My house need to be decked up with wonderful pictures. I should look like a devotee. I should marry a devotee. My address should be looking like a Krishna conscious devotee's address. So we will give importance to all these things which are not wrong, but if we are giving importance to all these external things but not developed actual relationship with Krishna in terms of aligning our desires to be the desires that Krishna wished us or our spiritual master desired, then we are not practicing Krishna consciousness in the perfect sense. So the four-step process that we discussed for desire is each and every one of the practitioners should understand that desires of the Supreme Lord, which we can understand from the desires of our spiritual master. So which means we need to learn to understand the mission, which is, as always we spoke about, is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, and how I am supposed to be the soldier in the Sankirtan movement. So getting to know to the clearest sense what is the desire of my spiritual master, as much as Srila Prabhupada had clarity of what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. Since the time Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur until Srila Prabhupada left the planet, all Srila Prabhupada did was to only fulfill the orders and desires of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and all the predecessor acharyas. Similarly, we all as practitioners, first duty is to know the desires of our spiritual master and desires of our parampara acharyas, and eventually what is Krishna's desire. And the second step is to know that where is my desire plane. As Prahlad Maharaj always pray, I am constantly being overpowered by sense gratificatory propensity, so we need to also map our current desire plane. That way we know what are we supposed to achieve, where are we currently standing. And third stage is what we call as a process of devotional service, where we strive, reprioritize, refocus our life in such a manner that our desires will be purified, adjusted to be matched with the desires of our acharya. And when we do that, the fourth step is to enjoy the pleasure and eternity as a devotee. So this deity worship, the science of deity worship is such that by developing relationship with the deities, we will be able to elevate our consciousness and orient our desires in a very, very nice manner. And because it is directly contributing towards controlling of our senses, it is something that we all need to do very dutifully. The second reflection is about offenseless chanting. According to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if somebody performs offenseless chanting, then seven results are definitely assured of them. So seven results are definitely assured for those who do offenseless chanting. So this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gives as a part of giving commentary to the first verse of Sikshashtakam. So the 7 points, I think one of the earlier classes we have discussed them, but I'll repeat it in this current context. So number one, the mirror of the heart or consciousness is cleansed the blazing fire of material life is extinguished. Third, all good fortune blesses the life of the person who is chanting. Fourth, transcendental knowledge gets revealed. Fifth, an ocean of divine happiness fills the heart of the chanter. Sixth, the material existence is completely uprooted. Seventh, everything becomes complete by the process of chanting. So Mahaprabhu explains that this process of chanting need to be very nicely explained. Of course, while Mahaprabhu has told Sanatana Goswami about this, separately Mahaprabhu is talking to Haridas Thakur, and he is explaining Haridas Thakur to glorify the holy name. So he has told Haridas Thakur, my dear Haridas Thakur, he is calling him as Namacharya. He is telling that please glorify the holy name. And the conversation is completely explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book called Hari Nam Chintamani. In Hari Nam Chintamani, Mahaprabhu made Haridas Thakur speak about the holy name. Like that, Mahaprabhu has made different people do different things. Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he asked him to compile a deity worship standard. To Rupa Goswami, he has asked to explain Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Whatever he has explained in Dasashwame the Ghat, Mahaprabhu asked Rupa Goswami to give a detailed explanation. We see here he has asked Sanatana Goswami to write a book. He is asking Ramananda Rai to explain about the highest form of devotional service. So the second reflection hence is the effect of offenseless chanting. So these 7 points are definitely a result of offenseless chanting, and these 7 points can as well be used to validate if I am going in the right direction. If we are not going to validate on a regular basis, then we may assume that things are going north, things are going great, but practically we will be carried away by lust, ego, pride, illusion. So there are many people who spoke about holy name and power of holy name. In Harinam Chintamani, not Harinam, sorry, in Madhurya Kadambini, five persistent obstacles that will not let steadiness to manifest in the process of one's Krishna consciousness is explained. And the first one is about attentive chanting. He says that if somebody is not attentive during Kirtana, Japa and Smarana, that is considered as an obstacle for our steadiness in Krishna consciousness. It's called Laya. So there are 5 aspects. We will not go to all the 5. Laya, Vikshepa, Apratipati, Kashaya and Rasaswata. Sleep, distraction, indifference or disinterest in spiritual topics, tendency toward bad habits, and taste for material enjoyment are considered as five great obstacles in devotional service, and hence the first one is about laya. The explanation given is sleeping during kirtana, japa and smarana. So hence the second reflection is we have got a golden opportunity to redeem. We have got a wonderful platform for us to quit this cycle of birth and death. Ashradadanaha purusha dharmasyasya paramtapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Arjuna, ashradadanaha purusha, whatever I am speaking, please have shraddha, please have faith, please implement them, please put them in practice. Otherwise, mrityu samsara vartmani, you will be going round and round in this cycle of birth and death. And that is why this entire Kevala Ashtakam talks about what holy name can do to us. Abrahma stamba paryantam sarvam maya mayam jagat satyam satyam punah satyam harir namaiva kevalam. Abrahma stamba paryantam sarvam maya mayam jagat, everything right from Brahma to the lowest vast, lowest, smallest kida, smallest insect. Everybody is controlled by maya. Satyam, satyam, punah satyam. The only truth is holy name of the Lord. So Brahma, in Brihan Aradhya Puran or you know some other literature, I don't remember the exact reference, he is telling, alokya sarva shastrani vicharyasa punah punaha idam ekam sunispannam dhyeyo narayana sadaha. He is telling, alokya, which means I inquired, I analyzed, I evaluated sarva shastrani, all the literatures, vicharyasa, inquired, analyzed. How many times? Punah punaha, again and again. And the conclusion is, idam ekam sunispannam yeyo narayana sadaha. I only come to one conclusion, which is Narayana is our ultimate shelter. So, the process of Krishna consciousness is based on the way our attachment and our performance of chanting the holy name of the Lord is. One girl went to Srila Prabhupada and told Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, this chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is very, very nice. Whenever I chant, I get to see a very nice red light coming in front of my eyes. This is very nice. Srila Prabhupada, you know, in a very humorous manner responded, please keep chanting, that red light will also go away. So, the expectation from all of us is we all need to chant attentively, avoiding 10 offenses, and that will enable us to serve Vaishnavas, serve deities, develop relationships, and eventually quit the cycle of birth and death. The last reflection is on Seva Aparad. of the four aparad, nama aparad, dhamma aparad, seva aparad and vaishnava aparad, even though all the aparads are equally to be avoided, nama aparad and vaishnava aparad have been given a slightly higher weightage, whereas seva aparad and dham aparad are something that we need to take cognizance on and eventually avoid. It is said these 32 offenses listed as seva aparad, the expectation is not that on the day one of our Krishna consciousness, we will be able to perform, comply to all the 32 offenses. It is not such a thing that this is expected of us from the get-go. But it is also not that to be considered that because I am chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because I am serving Vaishnavas, I can overlook seva and seva aparad. If somebody commits a crime, he is punished. If somebody justifies the crime, he is doubly punished. So, in our devotional service, we are definitely given privilege by the Supreme Lord by allowing us to go through this process of purification, but not in an open-ended manner forever. We can only go on saying, patting on our back, saying that just because I am in Kali Yuga, I am allowed, some mistakes are to be, you know, adjusted, allowed. Here Mahaprabhu asked Sanatana Goswami to elaborate. He's saying you should also describe the symptoms of Vaishnava and explain that one must give up or nullify all kinds of seva aparada. One is giving up, second is nullifying. Why nullifying? Because he knew that in the process of our practicing Krishna consciousness, we may not be able to perfect from get-go. And the reason we are not able to perfect is also because of our consciousness. So it is very scientific to say that I worship deity, I chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and these two, if I am very much nicely taking care, which means I chant very nicely, attentively, my consciousness will be clean. If my consciousness is clean, my activities are directed towards mode of goodness and sanity. And if I am trying to perform, I will be interested in learning, also adopting the lifestyle and practices that are conducive for deity worship. And that way, the whole spiral can be an upward one. So my chanting leads to a better deity worship. Better deity worship helps me to better develop relationship with Krishna and love Him. When I love Him most, I chant about Him nicely. So this goes in a spiral. So the seva aparad is something that needs to be carefully avoided. The biggest point of seva aparad that I want to insist on is not just the aparad, the list is anyway here. The mentality as practitioners, sometimes we carry thinking that it is okay, I can ask for forgiveness and be lethargic, or we are trying to be expecting some relief because we are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Such a tendency will put us in trouble. There are four types of anarthas. So anarthas caused because of our previous sinful activities, anarthas caused because of previous pious activities, anarthas caused because of aparadh, anarthas caused because of the byproducts of bhakti. So if somebody is interested in getting really an anartha nivritti done, we need to be very careful of avoiding seva aparadh. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that aparadhotta, so the anarthas which are born out of aparadh, that comes from seva aparadh. And in the seva aparadh list, I think it is worthwhile for us to discuss this seva aparadh separately in a elaborate manner, because some of the points may not be accepted by today's younger generation. Some of the points may sound contradictory. Some of the points that are mentioned over here may be like, you know, what's the problem? What if we do that? Because ultimately we are talked about our consciousness and our purity of mind. So what's the big deal if we do this? The whole process is seva aparadh at this point in time, since we are worshipping Radha and Krishna, since we are worshipping Gaur Nithai, since we are worshipping all the deities with awe and reverence only. We are having master-servant relationship only. In master-servant relationship, procedure, purity, purpose, and the people involved, all four are matters. Procedure, purity, purpose, and the people involved. You need to know the procedure to worship. You need to be having right purpose for worshipping. You need to have purity of thought for worshipping. And the people who are involved in this process need to be pure, need to be chosen. Not anyone and everyone can do this process. So these four things are part of a typical deity worship. Especially when we are having a master-servant relationship. Once the relationship with the Lord, once an individual spirit soul, a devotee, a paramahamsa, a self-realized soul, develops a relationship with the Lord, going beyond formal relationship, then the whole mood is completely different. The way Sanatana Goswami, Bilvamangala Thakura, and various other personalities worshipped Krishna. Sanatana Goswami said to Madan Mohan, please understand, I am a mendicant. I do not have sufficient financial resources. The choice is yours. If you do not want to, you know, put up with my own poverty, you figure out your own food. I can offer you only dry chapatis. You may not get sabji, you may not get different varieties of, you know, rajbhog, chappanbhog. I keep traveling between places because that's the order given to me. So if you want to put up with me, stay with me. Otherwise, please find your own arrangement. Sanatana Goswami is saying to the deities of Radha Madan Mohan. Radha Madan Mohan said, Baba, no, I am happy to be with you. I am okay for dry chapatis. So this is possible only when you have developed relationship with the deities. Once we are operating on the platform of soul and resonating with the super soul, eventually looking at the devotion of Sanatana Goswami, some merchant came, constructed a very big temple for Radha Madan Mohan, made all the arrangements for the deities to be worshipped. So Krishna reciprocates and behaves like a servant to his devotees at that platform, till that point in time, we need to operate on this four-pointed principle: purpose, purity, process, and people. So this Deva Aparad is something that we all need to take cognizance. For sure, the way we are remembering 10 Nam Aparad, at least at some point in time in our devotional life, we need to be aware. If, as students of Bhagavatam, if we say, "Oh, I never even knew Mataji, never even knew Prabhuji that we cannot do this," that is very unfortunate. And if you actually very deeply analyze these 32 items, they are all actually common sense. They are all how to offer respect. And this is applicable not only to deities. All these 32 points are even applicable to our own spiritual masters, to our own Vaishnava associations. The idea is, these are all the way in which we offer our respect. So we need to learn to avoid aparad. Aparada means against Srimati Radharani. Long time back we discussed a flowchart on what happens when somebody commits an aparad. One of the reasons why somebody will even do seva aparad is as a part of his fall down in Krishna consciousness, we start to consider ordinary people as great men and great person as ordinary people and deities as stone and some useless sense object as some valuable things. Aho dukkam maha dukkam dukkha dukkha taram yataha kachartam vismritam ratna hare namaiva kevalam kachartam vismritam ratna. I consider stone as a jewel and jewel as a stone. This is the nature of aparad. So to summarize our conversation, we had 3 points in these two shlokas, 335 and 336. One is about characteristics of deities and deity worship. Second is about the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord by avoiding 10 offenses. Third is how to understand the symptoms of a Vaishnava and nullifying the seva aparad and offenses in deity worship. So we spoke about how in the first deity worship, how there are 5 aspects in which our financial resources need to be utilized and how the desires need to be aligned and how we need to give deities the primary role to be a member or leading member of the family, and we should operate our Grihastha Ashram. And the reflection number 2, when we were talking about holy name, we spoke about 7 results of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra offenselessly. We also discussed about how this holy name of the Lord, when chanted offenselessly, can give us access to the Supreme Lord and help us to develop love towards the Supreme Lord. We refer to Madhurya Kadambini and said that how of all the 5 important obstacles that is listed by Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the first one is about being inattentive. The third reflection that we discussed was about how seva aparad, when we keep on overlooking, we will eventually land up in committing other aparads. And more than the aparad itself, the mentality towards the aparad, it's like crime is to be avoided, But justifying the crime is definitely need to be fixed. Otherwise, we will keep doing it again and again. And Mahaprabhu says, it's our duty to nullify because it is against Srimati Radharani. So, Seva Aparad, even though it is to begin with in terms of a master and servant relationship, it sounds like a formality. This formality needs to be abided because of our conditioning, and over a period in time, this will get purified and we can go beyond formality. And within the zone of seva, one needs to take cognizance of the process, purpose, purity of thoughts, and finally the people involved. So that way, we can definitely regulate our lifestyle to eventually set a good example for our next generation to take this up by avoiding all superstitious beliefs. So thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for the very, very nice class. It was very interesting to hear about all these points, about Seva Prad, about all these interesting points on the offenses in front of the deities and the other details that you were explaining. My question was, I just wanted to pull up the question. So when we see in the purport, we see Prabhupada is talking about the 32 offenses in front of the deities. So I don't know if this is a very stupid question, but my question is, why it says that one should not sit before the deity with his legs crossed. So I didn't understand this, because everyone sits in front of the deity with their legs crossed, right?
Okay. Basically, this cross-legging is about not the Padmasana that we sit. This cross-legging is about how somebody, when you put your leg down and one of your legs on your thighs, and you know, in a manner in which you shake your leg. If I can say in Tamil for you to understand, is that ஒரு கால தொங்க போடணும் ஒரு கால மேல வச்சு போடல. ஐ மீன் யூ புட் யுவர் லெக் ஒன் லெக் டவுன் அண்ட் ஒன் லெக் அப் அண்ட் யூ நோ ஐ மீன் தட்ஸ் மை அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் பிகாஸ் திஸ் கிராஸ் லெக்கிங் இஸ் நாட் அபவுட் தி பத்மாசன் தட் இன் அ ரெகுலர் மேனர் தட் வி சிட். திஸ் இஸ் அபவுட் இன் அ மேனர் வேர் வி சிட் இன் அ டிஸ்ரெஸ்பெக்ட்ஃபுல்லி இன் அ ஸோ பேசிக்லி வென் பீப்புள் சிட் பேக் அண்ட் ரிலாக்ஸ். So they kind of, put the cross leg in a relax. So basically, it is talking about how I have to be attentive and my posture needs to be towards the respectful manner, not in a leisurely manner.
And one more question. Thank you, Prabhu. That was very clear. The other thing is, one should not offer obeisances to the Lord with a hand, meaning like, you know, when we see, we just take this quick, we just touch the floor with our hand and then we put it to our eyes. Is that what they are saying?
I'll tell you an interesting story that happened to me. This was in 1996-97. I was in Srirangam. There was a Prabhupada disciple by name Atma Tattva Prabhu. We had called him for a program. So program was about to begin, and then I was given a service by the Prabhuji and Mataji that please pluck some tulsi leaves for offering. So I was whatever new, whatever, I was in hurry or whatever in my own world. So I came out. Actually, Atmavita Prabhu and another devotee were sitting and talking outside. So I came out. I plucked tulsi leaves as if I was plucking some other leaves or some other, in a very disrespectful manner. I just thought I would just take tulsi for the offering, and I just went in. And Atmavita Prabhu called me and said, "What did you do now?" He said, Prabhu, I was asked to bring in Tulsi, so I just plugged Tulsi and gone. He said, she is such a great devotee. Whenever you are plugging Tulsi, you should offer obeisances. Then I suddenly offered an obeisance because I had one hand Tulsi. So I just offered an obeisance, like a quick formal one, with one hand Tulsi, and just with one hand I just bowed down, not just even bending down, properly, bowing down with one hand. He said, offering obeisances in one hand is a seva parat. He said, Prabhuji, I have Tulsi in my hand. He said, please keep her in a proper place, make proper obeisances, and then take it and go. So he made me offer obeisances 3 times, saying that in a devotional service, we need to learn how to offer obeisances. This offering obeisances is not a formality. This is about taking permission. So my learning had been that many times, because we have chanting mala in our hand, because we have some things in our hand, because various things in our hand, we have an excuse saying that I can just offer a quick obeisances. But any time when we offer obeisances, especially with respect to Mataji's, they have to offer the way they are supposed to bow down. With respect to Prabhuji's, they are supposed to offer Sashtang Namaskar with all the 8 angas touching the floor and the head touching the floor, and not with one hand. And one other thing that is considered as disrespectful, the way the current college students or the current younger generation, they offer respect to elders. I don't know whether this has been that I'm mocking and criticizing, is they bow down to the knees. They don't even bow down. They just bend down, and using their left hand, they take them to the knees. Just as if they are going to touch somebody's feet. They wouldn't even bow down. And before even he really touches down, the elders also say that no, rehna de beta, rehna de, koi problem nahi hai. So just, okay, that's fine. So basically, the mannerism in which we are trained or we are seeing others offering obeisances is condemned. The proper mannerism in which we are supposed to offer obeisances is to keep with both the hands and bow down with our head touching the floor. All the other things are to say that I am just doing it as a formality. So if it is doing it as a formality, Rupa Goswami is upset. He says, don't do things anything as a formality. Do things because it is a procedure and is a prop in a part of the devotional process. So from that perspective, this point I understand as not just bowing down with not just bending down. I have myself done this plenty of times and made this mistake, because we have chanting bag in one hand, Mahaprasadam in one hand. So we will always just say that no, I'll just bow down. So as a part of seva aparat, we are supposed to avoid that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you for your beautiful talk. And thank you so much for your beautiful answers. I had to have the same similar questions when I was reading the purport. But thank you so much for answering it so nicely. Yeah, that's so true, that sometimes we take it for granted. And, sometimes I have seen a lot of devotees just, putting one hand on their chest and just going down. This is the way they, offer obeisances. So
These are all abbreviated versions of, devotion.
Exactly.
Mahaprabhu knew that it is coming our way. That's why he told Sanatana Goswami to give a detailed explanation of, Vaishnava behavior. So that we know at least we have a standards to follow.
That's not true, Prabhu. But yes, thank you so much for answering it.
I was recently giving a class, and in that class we were discussing why so much of insistence on certain things. So I was just telling, incidentally I was talking to a doctor, so I was telling her that we have different classification, outpatient ward, we have general, admission ward, then we have ICU, then we have ICCU. So different classifications. The more you become, into the ICCU, the kind of cleanliness that is expected of us is 4 times, 5 times more than your outpatient. So by the time if somebody is entering to the ICCU, even the doctors need to you know, sanitize themselves 20 times before they touch the patient. That's the kind of cleanliness and purity expected of the person walking inside. Of course, it is about treating a patient who is in an acute condition. And here, it is applicable in our Krishna consciousness. We are also in such a category. After being in this material world for such a long time, we need to have such pure, I'm not saying perfect, I'm talking about pure. Because Prabhupada, every time when he spoke about, he always referred about purity is the force and purity is the perfection. So if our purpose, intentions are pure, the external things are automatically falling in place. So that way, the Seva Aparad helps us in understanding the standards of devotional life.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for quoting that.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other thoughts, comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, in purport it said, like, one should not cry in front of deities.
Very good. Okay, basically this, when I was reading, I was half shivering. Oh my God, if I cannot cry, then what is the hope for me? Where will I go and cry? The whole point is, this crying that is referred over here is about mourning, in terms of how we generally cry. So this cry out of, as a part of our prayer, as a part of our request, pleading, that's allowed. The moment we cry, as a person throwing tantrums or as a person trying to moan, as one's, basically they said that when you are in front of the deities, don't moan, rather look up to the deities and ask for help. So if somebody is crying, weeping from the sense of complaining, or in the sense that how Krishna has not helped, or how you are helpless. So that's something that is an insult, because Krishna is looking at us, watching over us. And so if you cry to him, say that how can you be a better servant to him, rather than complaining of how he has not been a good master. That's my understanding. Maybe there are more. So, so cry from that perspective is to be done more in a pleading, more in a prayerful, rather than in a manner by which we demean the position of the Lord. Am I making some sense here?
Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
There is one more question I thought somebody will ask, but you know, it's an interesting one, that you are not supposed to offer obeisances to anyone in front of the deities. We always do that to Prabhupada. So how do we justify that? Any thoughts?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Yes, Papji, why should we cry? Because when more and more difficulty came in our life, we become more and more sincere. That is the turning point to get the mercy of lotus feet of Sri Radha Gopinath. At that time, we feel that why all the bad things happen with us. We are doing sincerely chanting and sincerely seva, but that is our purification. We don't understand in the when we are came in the age of 23 or 24, but after certain time pass, and then after we understand that yes, Krishna's plan is better than our plan, Prabhu. And can you please sing any bhajana for all of us? Tandvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Oh my God. I'll definitely sing.
Question before the question.
Yeah, before that I had a question. So anybody can. Yeah, I have some thoughts. I would like to hear other thoughts.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Okay. Good.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I have a question, but in answer to your question, one thought that occurred to me, why it's okay to, or why it's desirable even to pay our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada is because he represents Krishna. And so, in one sense, there's no difference between paying obeisances to Srila Prabhupada and paying obeisances, you know, as Krishna's representative, I mean, there's no difference.
Then why do we put the curtains when Tulsi Puja is on? Right? If what you're saying is correct, I'm not discounting on that. But
okay.
Tulsi Puja is happening in the temple, we put the curtains.
Well, a thought that occurs to me with respect to that is that, you know, Krishna's devotees would not want that that their worship should happen in front of Krishna. It's as out of deference for what Krishna's devotees would like, his pure devotees would like. You know, it's out of respect for the desires of his pure devotees. You know, they would not want their worship, it would be like embarrassing for them to be worshipped in front of Krishna, because they want all worship to go directly to Krishna.
Sure, but Prabhupada would also feel the same, right?
Huh?
Sure,
yeah.
Prabhupada would also feel the same, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we justify it?
Well, let me... I don't know. I think Prabhupada is offering our worship up to Krishna. When he receives it, he doesn't keep it. He offers it up through parampara.
Anybody else has any other thoughts on this?
Krishna becomes very pleased that we worship his devotee. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Any other thoughts?
Yes, Prabhuji. Krishna becomes very pleased when we
worship. I heard that. I said. Okay. I know. Any other thoughts apart from that?
Prabhuji, is a spiritual master is considered as a same level, means representative of the God, and then is considered as him as the same?
I mean, if all these answers are correct answers, but then the question, contradiction comes in is, why we close the curtain when Tulsi Puja is happening, but why we are not doing the curtain close when Guru Puja is happening? Anyway, so I also had this question. I asked some devotees. They gave me an answer. I'm not saying this is an ultimate answer, but I can share that. Once somebody, all these devotees went and asked Prabhupada the same question. So Prabhupada, that you said that the devotees are not supposed to be worshipping, but you know, in your case, we are doing Guru Puja in front of the altar. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. We want the whole world to know the process of Krishna consciousness is to glorify the devotees. And that the process by which we will, you know, get access to Krishna. So, technically speaking, this does not fully answer the way why Tulsi Maharani also should not be worshipped that manner. What this devotee told me was that general procedures are seva aparad in general. So basically, a seva aparad is all the 32 things that are listed. But if there is something that the spiritual master or the personality to the stature of Srila Prabhupada, he says something, so that much deviations are allowed, because they have the prerogative and privilege to bring in whatever alternations that are needed in the worship. This may be not very well accepted in all the forums, this explanation. Maybe some Gaudiya Vaishnavas would say that, no, you guys are, doing a special deviation for Prabhupada. But basically, the Siddhanta says that the words of the spiritual master and the directives of the spiritual master should be given that much weightage as it is to be given the words of the Supreme Lord. And because Srila Prabhupada was cognizant to the fact that certain worships are part of Seva Aparad, is still encouraged because we are a preaching movement, and Srila Prabhupada did not want any amount of adulteration to this process of preaching movement to be bringing in, and he wants to bring in a unique process that we are not identified amongst any other bhakti movement, any other Mayavadi movement. Prabhupada is very clear about the identity setting for our Krishna consciousness process to keep the sanctity intact. So he did introduce certain things which are seemingly contradictory, but it was needed. So this explanation I was given.
Prabhuji, and then what about our spiritual master when we worship? Because I heard from my Guru Maharaj.
Technically speaking, on the day of the Vyas Puja, we are allowed to worship. All the other days, we are not supposed to worship in front of the deities. That's why if you see, the GBC law is no spiritual masters are supposed to be worshipped. Basically, in the altar, when you do deity worship, you might need to keep your spiritual master for, because spiritual master is an important personality for your deity worship, because with his permission, there is one of the points of the 32 points listed over here, that the spiritual master's permission is required for you to do anything to with the deities. So altar, in the altar, we might need to have a spiritual master to take permission and with his guidance do the deity worship. But worshipping the spiritual master like the way we do Guru Puja, that is not supposed to be done according to the GBC law in the temple room on any other day apart from the day of the Vyas Puja of the spiritual master.
Thank you so much.
So, Prabhu, I still need some clarification. So, the reason why Vyasa Puja is an exception, I'm not sure why Vyasa Puja Day is an exception.
The reason Vyasa Puja is an exception is because this Vyasa Puja Day, we are acknowledging that he is our parampara link. The spiritual master is our parampara link. And on that day, we are, technically speaking, that Vyasa Puja Day, we are acknowledging to ourselves, acknowledging to everybody, worshipping the spiritual master as a parampara acharya because of whom we got in touch with this parampara. This is true for individual all the time. But when it comes to public worship, when it comes to public, processes, GBC had said in a guidelines, according to the Shastric references, that the arrangement that Prabhupada had given to worship him was only exclusive of him. He was not approving of everybody else. So what Prabhupada said as a okay for his Guru Puja to be done every day is only done for Prabhupada and nobody else. So that's the stand that the GBC has taken because of the unique position Srila Prabhupada holds in his con.
So the main reason why we don't worship our individual gurus is to distinguish their position from Prabhupada's. Because otherwise, like you said, every day we honor our individual gurus as our link to parampara. That's true every day.
Deity worship processes is also different for temple worship as well as for home worship. In home, it's a completely different processes. In temple, because we are an institution, because it's a public forum, we need to set a standard. So there is a separate set of procedure that needs to be followed. So the deity worship standard in the temple is not necessarily, of course, the major rules have to be followed, but not in the exact mannerism is expected of us in the home deity worship. So the idea is that when we are setting up a standard in the temple, we better set up because we are bona fide process. We do not want any other sampradaya to come and mock us.
Okay. And then, again, to clarify why we pull the curtain for Tulsi is because, what was it?
Basically, it's seva apra. Worshipping any devotee in front of Krishna, apart, glorifying devotees, according to this point in seva apra, we are not supposed to worship. So that is applicable across the board. Just in case of Prabhupada, because it's a preaching movement, and because Prabhupada allowed because Prabhupada, you know, gave us the permission to ensure the sanctity of this. This is my explanation that I got from some devotees. I'm not saying this is the perfect and only answer that we could have. Maybe there may be other devotees who may have more explanations to this. My understanding is that apart from Prabhupada, nobody else they're allowed or are allowed to be worshipped with curtains on.
Yeah, because I didn't get the reason why Prabhupada was the exception in that case.
The exception is because it's Prabhupada felt that this is a way by which he can establish the sanctity of this process and identify, differentiate himself from all the other processes of so-called deviant bhakti movement. Also, Srila Prabhupada wanted to insist on the process how by surrendering to a devotee and how by worshipping a devotee we will be able to reach Krishna. This is still not giving a clear answer to this particular point, but I just thought I will broach on this idea so that we all can still meditate, keep asking this question and get some more clarity.
Yeah, because it's actually not still so clear to me. But I did have one last question about your talk. When you were discussing the four P's, purity, process, people, can you just repeat what was the point of those four P's, but especially when you said the people are involved?
Basically, I was trying to say is that seva, generally, at this point in time, if you look at the seva aparad processes, some of these points were completely overlooked by, self-realized soul. Gopis, if you apply gopis' behavior, the gopas' behavior, Yashodamaya's behavior, all the other cowherd boy, cowherd brands, all the queens, they will not fit into any of these 32. They would have broken all these 32 left, right, center. The point I was trying to say is, Prabhupada has taught deity worship as on reverence at this point in time. A student or a servant with the master. When in every servant-master relationship, you need to understand, we need to be clear of, processes, purity, purpose, and the people involved. So this is how organizations are managed. So if these four things are not properly understood, we may end up in doing some gross offense. And once we are crossing the stage of formal relationship, when the relationship matures, when we try to understand our Swarupa Siddhi, when we are getting to know our constitutional service to the Supreme Lord, that's when the Seva Aparads are not even going to matter because we would be situated much ahead above our Aparad platform. So that time these restrictions won't count. So till the point in time we are in the stage of a practitioner in the sadhana bhakti, we need to take cognizance of this from four people.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, clear. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you. We will end the talk because
it was requested. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your very enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in the future. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here.
Mataji, I think Vrinda Goswami, you have a question for Prabhu.
Huh?
Prabhuji, please, Vaishnav song.
Oh, yeah, I'll sing one. I'll
okay. Okay, yes, Prabhuji.
हे बार करुणा करो वैष्णव गोसाई पतित पावन तोमा बिने के होना जहरनी काटे गेले पाप दुरे जाय हे मन दयाला प्रभु seva kotai pai rangara parasa hoile paschate pavan darshane pavitra toro eto margo haristane aparade tare harinam tomastane aparade nahi paritran tomara hrdaye sada Govinda Vishram Govinda Tohena Mora Vaishnava Paran Prati Janme Tori Asha Charane Radhuli Narotame koro doya apanara moni Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
वंशाकृपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनन्तकोटिवैष्णवृन्दकी जय नामाचार्यश्वरदास ठाकुर की जय श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्रेय राम गेदारी प्रभु की जय थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभुजी वेरी वेरी नाइस
हरे कृष्णा
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice bhajan. Dandvat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. I forgot about the subject.